What's up, nerds? And welcome back to your weekly movie review podcast. That's right, you are locked in and tuned in to the 3FN Podcast. And of course, we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. This week, we are going to be reviewing the new Blumhouse film, Imaginary. But before we get there, I am your host, Rich, and the nerds are all here. First, he is the man who, after seeing Imaginary, it brought a tear to his eye and made him miss his imaginary friend, so he went out and gave them a call. I don't know if they answered or not. He can fill you in on that, but it's Ron.
Oh, they answer. They always answer.
They always answer?
Every time.
All reliable.
All reliable. Always answer. You might look funny when I'm talking to myself, but I always answer.
You might have been a ventriloquist. Of course, the other nerd is here. Well, he didn't see the movie, but he definitely talks to a lot of imaginary friends. But he has the longest introduction to all podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you hashtag Big Natty Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Malenko, because he's the man of 1,004 hashtags. He is the leader of the Minnows Gang and is your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. He's the man, the myth, and the legend rolled into one jolly old ginger bearded feller. This is Diesel.
You mean to tell me you all weren't bullied by your imaginary friends?
Ooh.
God damn it.
They always took your snack pack, didn't they?
No, they found more snack packs for me. Look at me.
Wait a minute. Your imaginary friend was the bully of the other people? They just brought you back food.
Well, damn. They gave me abandonment issues.
Well, with that, it's a good time. It's always a great time to get up with you guys. Hopefully, everybody out there had a great week. But I want to find out how your weeks were. So, Ron, how has been the week?
Week's been all right. Can't complain too much. Normal stuff going through. Took the weekend off, said no to some overtime, so you know, just
that's a first time, ladies and gentlemen. Mark that in your calendar.
Yeah, and just needed the weekend to get things situated. My truck went into the shop today, so I had to clean it out a little bit, get the stuff that's, you know, worth a little bit in there out of there, just in case. Not saying anybody's gonna steal anything, but you know, just rather it be at the house than whatnot. Other than that, you know, it's been one of those weeks. Our Wednesday group is working through. After our TPK and then being resurrected, we have chosen to go and find, go into a wizard's tower. And get through the wizard tower, we had to figure out the maze. And the maze was kind of a pain in the neck. But we figured it out, so we're kind of like, what is it? It's
So you're telling me you guys bitched out because you were scared of a little fucking dragon cultist and went and did a fucking labyrinth?
No, we got resurrected. And then our next thing is there's somebody that wants to defect from the call of the dragon, so they have a dragon mask that we're seeking, so they're like, come get it. So when we show up to get into the tower, you have to go through this labyrinth, which is sundials, and you know, you got to figure out the puzzle and all that stuff. So it's like, okay, we're gonna get through there. And it was kind of a pain of a little bit of a dick because we got our asses kicked by plants.
Well,
poison ivy will get you every time, fellas.
Plants kicked our ass, so you know, we'll see how this goes.
All right, Diesel, how's been your week?
It's actually been a pretty good week for the first time in a while. I had today and Friday off from work because I had plans to go down to Philadelphia for a magic tournament, but those plans fell through, but I decided to keep my vacation days off. And Friday I was able to surprise my dad at his work with some lunch from a local Chinese place that he hasn't been to in like 10 years.
Nice.
So that was nice. Went out to a dinner at Red Lobster, which was actually not bad. The last few times I've been to Red Lobster, been pretty disappointed. This time was pretty good. Weekend I worked, and then today I hung out with a friend most of the day, and here we are.
Oh, there you go. Last week I went to see Labyrinth with my wife on Wednesday. First time I ever saw it in a theater. My wife was very excited because she's a huge Labyrinth fan. Of course, I was very excited because I got to see, you know, during the, you know, magic dance. I got to see the baby that was smuggled inside of David Bowie's pants, and I mean, Jesus.
The old 16-inch Curves TV from back in the day didn't do any justice, did it?
No. That big screen made it look so much more impressive.
Didn't realize you went to go see Anaconda, did you?
Yeah, well, anyways, my Anaconda don't want none. Anyways, it was good. I enjoyed it. I grew up on it. I know it's a divisive film for some, but it was a lot of fun, and it was always nice to see my wife excited. I went to see Imaginary, which is this week's 3FN Movie Club review, of course, and then, you know, I just kind of relaxed and hung out, and it's, you know, kind of an easy weekend for me. Easy peasy lemon squeeze. Queasy. And like I said before, I hope everybody at home had a great week, and I hope you have a great upcoming week. And as you know now, I don't necessarily just dive right into the shameless plugs. Have gotten a little easier because, hey, let's be honest, we like to dive into the show as quick as you do, so it's easy. If you want to find out anything about the 3FN podcast, it's simple. Go to 3fnpodcast.com. The social media links are there. Make sure you follow us on the social medias. TeePublic links there if you want to buy some swag. The Patreon, patreon.com/3fnpodcast, for as little as $1 a month, you get a ton of extra bonus content and help support everything we do around here. That is there as well. If you were on Patreon, you would understand why the Comeback King is a thing, because we did that today. Also, we're going to be talking about the Oscars in the mid-break, because we do two breaks here, because it's a new movie. So, on top of all of that, though, check out the musical directory where bands like Shout at the Robots, whose song Fail Better is the theme song for the 3FM podcast, they're there. Make sure you're supporting them. Going to follow them on YouTube Music, Bandcamp, and Spotify. Friends of the show like the ODPH podcast and Nerd Initiative. Wrestling fans, make sure your Nerd Initiative YouTube channel, make sure you're signed up there, because every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm talking pro wrestling with Ken M. from the ODPH over there on Wrestling Night Live. So join us and the new guy, Nick. It's a lot of fun, so make sure you're doing that if you are into the pro wrestling talk. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our sponsors. There's a sponsorship section. Make sure you're supporting them. Most importantly, our major sponsor who sponsors us with this wonderful studio, Dragon Master Games, for all your Magic the Gathering and gaming needs. Visit them on the World Wide Web, DragonMasterGames.com. So with that being said, go to 3FNPodcast.com if you want to learn all about that and so much more. But Diesel, I do believe it's time to kick this show off.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to Diesel's movie Triple Stuff. I actually have a really big box office this week, coming in at number 5 with $4.1 million, Bob Marley, One Love.
Coming down the list a little bit, but it's been on there for over a month now.
Yep. Debuting it at the number 4 spot, movie I don't even think we've heard of, but with pulling in $7.6 million, Cabrini.
Yes, that's getting a lot of consideration for next year's Academy Awards. That was an early frontrunner for that. I have not seen it either, but I do know of it.
Debuting at the number 3 spot with $10 million, Imaginary.
Yes, that's the movie that we're doing for this week's 3FN Movie Club review that me and Ron went to see. Diesel shan't be seeing it, but he's going to participate.
Dropping to the number 2 spot, Dune Part 2. With $46 million domestic.
Hey, so. That's a drop-off, but that's normal. Yep. Definitely post-pandemic era. But hey, listen, if you went to see it once, twice, you're still a winner, in my opinion.
And then debuting at the number 1 spot, pulling in $58 million for its opening weekend, Kung Fu Panda 4.
By the way, you cannot mess with a kid's movie like that, especially Kung Fu Panda. And I don't know if you saw it when you were at the theater, Ron, but at the Regal, they have Chinese takeout box popcorn for the movie. I almost bought one. I'm not even going to lie. Because it just looked cool.
Yeah.
So Diesel, what's coming to the box office in the upcoming weeks?
All right, coming out this week, we have Snack Shack, American Dreamer, Arthur the King, and the American Society of Magical Negroes.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that stuff coming up, and the trailers. I'm definitely interested in a few of those movies.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then the week after that, what do we got?
All right, so we got next week. So I was wrong in the Patreon talk. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is next week.
Yeah, that's right. That's March.
That's why I was confused.
That's towards the end of March, yes.
And then also coming out on March 22nd, we have Immaculate, Late Night with the Devil, and Femme.
I will tell you this month, if you are not paying to be on Patreon, that's fine. But there's this new thing where there's a free feature. I know Ron has the free feature on his. We are going to actually start using that. So if you would like to follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/3FNpodcast, there's going to be some of the bonus reviews that we do exclusively on Patreon, but will be available for not only the paid tiers for you. So I do think I'm going to go see Immaculate. And that's going to be where that's going to be. It's going to end up on Patreon, but it will probably be under the free tier. That's where I might kick that off.
Yes.
So when we do an extra bonus review, because we've been known to do that, hey, it's just a way. You don't have to pay for anything. You just have to go to Patreon and just send it. And if you want to add some extra to value, we got some stuff coming up, this month as well, because we have the two exclusive shows on Patreon, which 3FN Rewind, which is all older films that we do. Myself and Diesel will be reviewing Dream, A Little Dream from 1989, featuring the two Coreys. And myself and Ron, for its 40th anniversary, will be reviewing Children of the Corn this month, so on the 3FN Horror Show. So
That's going to be coming up this month for everybody. Actually, in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably be getting them banged out. So those are the Patreon exclusives, just because we don't necessarily always talk about Patreon. But speaking of next week's 3FN Movie Club review will be one going in the Wayback Machine. It's the first comic book movie we've done in the Wayback Machine, Captain America Winter Soldier. It's celebrating an anniversary, so we will be reviewing that next week on the 3FN Movie Club review. And the week after will be Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Now, Diesel, now that we have gone through the movies coming up, it is time to get to the signature top three. And what is this week's top three?
All right. This one is, who would be your top three horror icons that you would like to befriend?
So, like, kind of like your imaginary friend, but yes, they're here. All right. So, in my number three spot, I have, I'm going to just go Freddy Krueger. Why? Because if you need somebody taken out in their dreams, he's your guy.
Yeah.
He has a little trouble past. That's why he's number three.
And if you have a bad dream, he's going to make everything all right for you.
Yeah, because he can help you in your dreams. Yes. You know what I mean? My number two spot. Let's go with Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Nice.
First of all, I am a huge Doug Bradley fan. I got to spend some time with Doug Bradley at a horror convention. So that's always fun. But as far as the character goes, can you think about it? He has some of the greatest lines in all of horror. If somebody pisses you off, you just have him drop, "Jesus wept," and like move on with his day. Like, you're just a soul shaking. And in my number one spot, I want to hang out with the critters from Critters. Listen,
nice.
They can
nice
devour boy. Your enemies, and on top of that, then you can just give them little cuddlies, because it's like they're like your kittens, because they're your friends. So you give them the little cuddly rubs, and then they just go out and murder all your enemies.
Nice.
So that is my top three. Ron, what is your top three?
Number three is Freddy as well, because come on, let's just face it. Number two, I'm going to tell you, I'm probably going to get judged for this, but it's Megan. Why? Because a little killing android is amazing.
Of all the killing androids out there, you chose Megan.
Though. Ready for this? I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on to your number one.
Number one, Jigsaw. Because, come on.
Hey, it takes game night to a whole new level.
Want to play a game? Diesel, what is your top three?
All right, coming in at number three, we're going to go with Ghostface, specifically Billy from the original Scream.
Okay, all right, right on.
Number two, we're going to go with Syl from Species.
Okay, perfect reasons.
She just needed a hug.
Once again, I am not touching that with a 10-foot pole. What's your number one?
Also, shout outs to our man Doug Bradley, because I'm going to the world of pain and pleasure, Pinhead.
But for a different reason than me, and I'm also not touching that one. I was kind of surprised that you picked Billy Loomis, though. I would have thought you were more of a Stew guy.
I think personally, I would probably go for Stew, the actor. We're probably going to go with
Matthew Lillard,
but I do have a soft spot for Skeet Ulrich, and I think me and him would be friends.
But then you could hear, "I feel a little bit woozy, man."
Yeah, but see, I'm going to be the Stew character in that friendship.
Okay, all right.
Obviously, Billy was a ringleader.
And that's true. Good point. Well, that's us top three for this week. If you guys would like to always chime in, 3fmpodcast.com, do it with social medias. Hit us up. Let us know what your top three is as well. But let's finally get there, because when we exit Diesel's movie triple stuff, we jump right on into...
Welcome to
3FN's Movie Club.
Refreshments are available in the lobby. And please, keep our theater clean by disposing of trash in specified containers. And remember, gift certificates are available for any special occasion. Enjoy the show.
That is right. It is now time for the 3FN Movie Club review. And this week, we went to see the brand new Blumhouse film, Imaginary. And we're going to break that down for you right now. For those of you who may need a reminder or are new to the podcast, first of all, if you're new to the podcast, thank you for giving us a shot. Hopefully you enjoy the review, and hopefully stick around to check out some of the older reviews. And on top of that, all the new stuff we got coming out in 2024. But here's your reminder of how we do new movies here on the 3FN Movie Club Review. First of all, we will do it completely in a spoiler-free and spoiler-full portion, and there will be a break in between to separate them so you have nothing to worry about. In the spoiler-free section, Diesel will give you the spoiler-free synopsis. I will give you the stats of the film,
including who made it and who starred in it. And then we will give a thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down, spoiler-free recommendation for the movie. Then we will take the break. After the break, we will give you one more final warning before jumping into the full spoiler review, followed by the game where we'll find out all of the scores from around the internet, and then finally give our scores for Imaginary. So with that being said, gentlemen, are you ready to give everybody the Imaginary review?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Diesel, I believe...
Man, I got a story to tell.
Oh. A friend with abandonment issues comes down later down the road to exact his revenge on the woman who left him.
Oh, very good. For somebody who didn't see the movie, I like that. I like that one. And, of course, the movie was Imaginary. It came out on March... it just came out this past week, March 8th of 2024, with a runtime of 104 minutes. The budget was estimated at $13 million. It did not have a worldwide. It just opened domestically. $10 million domestically. So, not too bad. It's only about $3 million off. If you go by the logic that it's usually time and a half, it should make about $20 million. So, they're halfway to what they should make to make their money back for the movie. All right. Now that we know those stats, it's time to find out
who made this shit.
And of course, the director of this film was Jeff Wadlow. Jeff Wadlow's first movie that he ever directed was Cry Wolf in 2005. He also was the director of Kick-Ass 2, Truth or Dare, and Fantasy Island.
I like Fantasy Island.
Yeah, but it's also a Blumhouse film.
Yeah.
Screenplay for this movie. First of all, Jeff Wadlow was one of the people writing the screenplay. All the movies I just listed, plus he wrote Bloodshot, you know, the movie adaptation of Bloodshot.
Yep.
Greg Erb wrote the screenplay, Rocket Man, in 1997, so not the Elton John movie, but an older film. And The Princess and the Frog, only two movies he wrote for, major movies, a lot of TV and stuff and smaller stuff in between. And Jason Ormland, was the other screenplay writer, and he kind of joined in as an associate of Greg Erb. He joined in on The Princess and the Frog in 2009, and they've done some smaller stuff together as well, including things on the small screen. All right, next up, the director of photography of this film, James McMillan. The first movie James McMillan was the DP on was The Aspern Papers in 2010, and the only other thing of note, the Twisted Metal series that just came out.
Oh, nice.
So he did all of those for the director of photography. And last but not least, the composer. And mind you, there was about three other composers that are Blumhouse people. I'm not going to list them off. They were kind of the secondary group because all their stuff is just for Blumhouse. So I think those were more sound effects people than composers, and they just got a dip, but whatever. It is what it is. But the actual composer on this film was Bear McCreary. Periphery Texas in 2002 was the first movie. Europa Report, 10 Cloverfield Lane, Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day to You, Hellfest, Godzilla, King of Monsters, Child's Play, the remake, Freaky, and most recently, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, amongst others. Bear McCreary is actually a very good composer. So awesome that he was involved in this movie. Now that we know who made the movie, it's time to find out who starred in it.
For the love of God, will someone please punch me in the face so I can see some scars?
And in no bad way, this is a younger a group of actors in this movie. So be prepared. Some of them do not have the long list of accomplishments. But starting off in the role of Jessica DeWanda Wise, first movie DeWanda did, Spinning Into Butter, 2007. She was also in Precious and Jurassic World Dominion. Tegan Burns played Taylor. I Can Only Imagine in 2018 was her first movie. By the way, Diesel, you would recognize her from the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. She was on that TV show. Piper Braun played Alice, and she's a young girl. The only other movie she did in the first movie, Desperation Road in 2023. So this is only her second motion picture, but hey, she's very young. I think she's going to have more in the future. Betty Buckley played Gloria, her first movie, Carrie, in 1976. She was also in Wyatt Earp, The Happening, and Split. So she's a big fan of M. Night Shyamalan. And last but not least, on the deep dives, if you will, because I don't think any of these were too deep of a dive, Tom Payne playing Max, his first movie, Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, in 2008. But most people know him from 55 episodes of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That would be where most of them remember
Jesus.
For him. And yes, and on top of that, you know, I'm sure he knows T-Dog. You know, if you're on Patreon, you have known the glories of We Are the Walking Dead. If you've never heard it, just put in T-Dog Sings. And you're welcome. Quick shout out to Samuel Salary, though, who played Ben. That would be Jessica's dad. You remember him as the stern orderly from Stranger Things, the beanie bubble in All of the Creatures Here Below. amongst other things, very big character actor. Did a great job. Actually, there's nobody in this movie I thought did a bad job.
Yes.
So with that being said, though, now we've come to the part. And, of course, Diesel will be sitting this one out because he didn't see the movie because he doesn't watch scary movies, especially ones that have to do with imaginary friends. So, Ron, it's on me and you. This is the thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down, spoiler-free recommendation. What is your recommendation?
I'll put a thumbs in the middle only because I did enjoy it and I'm not upset that I saw it. It's just one of those movies where you can get, like, introduce people to horror that don't really like horror because it's not that bad. But it's not one of those films that you got to rush out and see. So it's like if you catch it on a streaming service or something, you know, when it comes out, I don't think you'd be disappointed. It's there. I wasn't upset that I saw it and I enjoyed it, but it's just, I understand it's a niche.
Well, I'm also going with thumbs in the middle. I think this is a perfect down the street, middle of the road film. We're going to talk about it more in the spoiler full review, but I don't regret seeing it, but it also didn't blow me away.
It sort of sounds like when they did the remake of Firestar. Like, it was fine, but, like, did you need to go out to see it? It was fine.
I'm going to say it this way to people. This is a toned-down version of Insidious.
True.
That is really, like, family-friendly Insidious is what I would call this. So if you were into the Insidious movies, if you're really into them, you're probably not going to like it because it's toned down. If you're a real horror fan, like, big on horror, you're not going to like it because it's not big horror. If you're somebody introducing a younger viewer to horror films, this could be a good gateway. I would prefer, I would over this say FNAF, Five Nights at Freddy's, because I thought that was a way more fun and a little more exhilarating of a movie. But I would also put this in that category as a good gateway, especially if you have like a, I would say if, honestly, if your kid was 10, I mean, unless language is a problem. You know what I mean? Because there is a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot of swearing, but there is swearing in this film. That's the one thing this movie has. But I don't want to spoil anything else. No. So I would say it's okay. Like for me, 10, 11, 12-year-old, it's your choice. You're the parent, you know. I would say that that would be a kind of a gateway movie if you're looking for something to watch with them, in my opinion. With that being said, though, we're going to take it to the break. When we come back from the break, we are going to jump into the full spoiler review of Imaginary.
This is Jill Whitlow from Night of the Creeps, and you are listening to the incredible, vivacious Three Fat Nerds.
Stepping around social landmines and dodge depression with self-medication. I'm dying to some real headlines and comments of kids getting smashed on the front lines. So take it with that decision and pick one position in every word.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Don't worry, we did not change the movie. It is still imaginary. But I was like, hey, what are we going to come back from? Why not imagination? Because imaginary. Imagination. Either way, it was either that or come back to a Jeff Hardy song, and I don't think the world's ready for that. I just don't think that the world's ready for that. But yes, we are back in the second half of the 3FN Movie Club review for Blumhouse's Imaginary, and we're about to jump into that spoiler full review. So, final warning, if you have not seen Imaginary and you don't want the movie spoiled, this is your time to stop the podcast, go see the movie, and then restart the podcast after you've seen the movie to hear what we think. However, if you've seen the movie, or if you don't care if it's spoiled, your time is now, because we're entering the spoiler full zone right about now. And of course, you know, we don't go scene for scene through the movie. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I remember every scene in this movie. So that's, you know, and I don't make notes in the movie theater because it's awful dark to be writing stuff in a movie theater. I know some people will do it on their phone. I don't know if I want to do that.
a long time ago when I wanted to like write movie reviews, I'm talking like 15 years ago, I tried to get one of those pens that had a like little flashlight on that. I was like, I'm not going to be that asshole in the movie theater that has a little light going on as I'm scribbling notes.
I'm leaving that in. If, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to tell you which end that came from. With that being said, Diesel, thank you for sharing that about your light up pen.
Yeah, I did it once and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be that asshole.
But anyway, so we're gonna give you the basic structure of the movie and how it worked out, and then we'll kind of go over our likes and dislikes. Diesel, just feel free to jump in whenever you want to, because obviously you didn't see the movie, because you shouldn't be watching these kinds of movies. So with that being said, we get a starting point. It starts hot.
Very hot.
It starts hot. It starts with our main character, Jessica, running out of a door, a little tiny door, and into a hallway full of doors. And yeah, she's being chased by monsters.
Through a small door into the dark web. It was like a back room. It was like
she was in a basement at first, and then she goes up the stairs. She's into those subliminal halls whatever they call them. Yeah. It's not subliminal.
They call them back rooms.
Yeah, the back rooms. And then she goes into a couple different places, and she's trying to escape from a monster. You kind of see the monster. You don't really full on see it. They give you flashes, which is ingenious. And then, like, the monster ends up being her dad, and then she wakes up. And she wakes up next to her husband, and she has this nightmare frequently, I guess.
Okay.
So, meanwhile, we find out that she is a story writer for kids' books, and she writes this song, Molly the Millipede. And Molly runs from a bad spider, the bad spider, and basically that's how she's made her living.
Okay.
She has two stepchildren. One is Alice, who is this young little girl. One is Taylor, who is slightly older. And then her husband is Max, and he's a musician. We don't ever kind of find out what music he plays, but we know he's a musician because he's going. He leaves in this movie to go on tour.
Yeah.
So there's your backstory. And they're going to be moving from their house in the city, which is an apartment, to her childhood home, where she lived with her mom and dad up until when her mother died. And then she got removed from her father's home and spent her rest of her childhood and growing up with her grandmother.
Okay.
Mind you, she doesn't remember any of this. All she remembers is that she was happy there and ended up to the age of 5, and then all of a sudden she wasn't there no more after her mom died. So, yeah, they're giving you a little subtles. So they decide to move in early. They get to the home. Things haven't been painted yet. And as we get to the home, the little girl, Alice, is playing hide-and-seek with her stepmom. She ends up down in the basement because she hears noises, and she finds a teddy bear. And his name is Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Chauncey Bear.
Oh, fuck you. I'm out.
And in the meantime, you know, we have, there's a struggle between the older stepdaughter and the stepmother. And then the stepmother ends up going to see her father, where he freaks out because her father lost his fucking mind. Basically, his brain got sick is how he explained it to her when she was a little girl. So she still says that now. And he's kind of in a home for assisted living.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm getting like the butterfly effect vibes.
Kind of. So basically what ends up happening is that now Alice has an imaginary friend, which is in the form of this bear, Chauncey. And Chauncey, though, seems to not just be imaginary. Chauncey seems to move around the house.
Yeah.
Chauncey's always hungry. Yeah. Find that out. He's always hungry. Don't know why, but he's always hungry.
Oh.
And Chauncey is having her go on a scavenger hunt. And if she gets to the scavenger hunt, he will take her to a very special place. Mind you, this sounds creepy as shit.
Yep.
And, you know, she'll love it there.
I am getting all sorts of repressed memory vibes happening right now.
Sorry, Diesel. Sorry. So, basically, what we find out, and kind of skipping around, we find out that this is going up and down. She's collecting bugs. Taylor makes friends with the neighbor boy, who's kind of a bad boy. I use that in parentheses because he comes over and he wants to do drugs with her and probably fornicate. However, he ends up breaking a liquor bottle when he's trying to drink. Getting scared shitless when he's dealing with Chauncey. And basically during that, he goes, man, I must be tripping. And then we find out that it wasn't Molly he had. It was just allergy medicine.
Yeah. His mom's allergy medicine.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's get fucked up on some Allegra.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have that. And then, like, in this meantime, basically while she's going through it, Jessica starts to, like, kind of piece together some of her childhood. She meets the neighbor who was her babysitter, and like there's some like leaning into things that she did have an imaginary friend. You know, Chauncey this whole time is kind of sending her signals, you know what I mean? But at the same time, this little girl is doing her scavenger hunt, and of course, Diesel, the scene that I'm going to give for you right now was the scene that drove you out in the theater, and it was the little girl has her hand over a board with a nail in it. She, in the way it's cut in the trailer, it looks like it's more dangerous than it is. As she brings her hand down, her stepmom smacks the board out of the way, and she just cuts her hand out, or cuts the side of her arm on a little bit.
Because was that on the scavenger hunt something that hurts?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the last thing.
That was the last thing. And something that scares you, something happy, something that you hate.
There's something you'll get in trouble for.
Something you get in trouble for. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. So now we're getting into the climax of the film, and we find out that they have the psychologist. That came in and dealt, psychiatrist, sorry, that came in and dealt with Alice before, because we find out that Alice's mother, oh, she's a real fucking winner and out of her mind, and she actually burnt her daughter's arm on the stove. We don't see the scene, but you see the scars. You find out where the scars came from. And this comes up because her mother somehow ends up at this house, their new house. And Chauncey makes her look pretty, but she's actually there in the fucking flesh and jumps out, and they end up strapping her and taking her away.
Yeah,
because Taylor messaged her and gave her the address.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about not winning stepdaughter of the year.
Okay, okay.
So, in the meantime, we find out from the psychiatrist who's interviewing Alice, who she has a rapport with Alice. She's got her on camera. And she's like, well, why don't you tell Chauncey? You know, Alice is like, can I bring Chauncey? And she goes, absolutely. So, she goes out, grabs Chauncey, brings Chauncey in, sets Chauncey in the couch. And then the psychiatrist says, well, tell Chauncey how it made you feel that he wanted you to hurt yourself. And so she sits there and she has this conversation. And Chauncey speaks in a voice that's similar to hers. So, like, but not in full, like, sentences. So it's like, Chauncey, Chauncey, love Alice, and stuff like that. And, but it's a creepy version of Alice's voice. So Alice is like, you hurt my feelings. And she was like, basically, Chauncey's like, it's your stepmom that's the problem, yada, yada, yada. And the psychiatrist is trying to help out. And at the end of, like, of course, at this point, Alice gets upset. And she's just like, I don't think we should be friends anymore. And all of a sudden, Alice turns towards the psychiatrist, and the Chauncey voice happens while she is not moving her mouth, and tells the psychiatrist, if you tell anybody about this, I'll get rid of your three ugly grandkids, which Alice would have not known about her grandchildren. Yeah. So she comes out and she grabs, Jessica as Alice runs off and Taylor goes to, comfort her. And as she goes and is talking to the psychiatrist, she was like, that bear. And she's like, what bear? And she's like, Chauncey, the bear. She brought him in. She's like, there's no bear in here.
Yeah.
So we find out this whole time, the only people who could see the bear, Jessica and Alice.
Yeah.
So nobody else could see the bear. Taylor didn't think there was a bear. She was like, no, she's just pretending. It's, imaginary. It's not real. And, like, the doctor shows her the video footage, and the video footage shows no bear.
Yeah.
Even though she's like, she came out and got it. And then we discover that Jessica, her childhood imaginary friend, was also Chauncey.
Yeah.
And Chauncey is upset because she left Chauncey. And in the meantime, though, he gets Alice and gets her to make the door and do the little whatever, and she disappears. Right. And we find out that when she was a little girl, everybody thought her dad was crazy, but Jessica also disappeared.
Okay.
And the neighbor spells it out because she's been writing books about this and imaginary friends, and it gets real fucking crazy, right?
How convenient that the neighbor happens to be an expert.
Well, because of the event, because she was there the day that she disappeared. She watched her go through the door and wasn't brave enough to go too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's always been... So they go to reopen the door to save Alice. She does the whole, kit and caboodle. And then the door opens and they go into the world of imagination.
Never ever.
It's the never ever, yes. But they call it the never ever, Diesel.
Okay.
So they're in the never ever, and it's just doors. It's the back rooms.
Yeah.
And each door leads to different places. And they look through the thing and they look through this picture. She pulls up, it's like a window with a picture over it. And Jessica sees what happened the night that she returned from the never ever. Her dad actually went in and saved her. And her dad looked Chauncey, or the demon or spirit or whatever you want to call it, in the eyes. And as the lady explains, all these kids' imagination and imaginary things came flooding in, and his brain couldn't handle it. That is why he went crazy.
Yeah.
So now we know that her dad tried to save her and sacrificed himself to save her. Now they're trying to find Alice. And as they try to find Alice, we get the first little hiccup, because the neighbor lady, she fucks off, and when they find her, she's taking the phone that they use. They all use a flip phone to kind of like wedge the door open so they could get out. She took it out because she's always wanted to be there.
Yeah.
So newsflash, Chauncey was talking to me, and he wanted me to bring you here so I could come here, and we could be happy here, and we could have whatever we want. And the only real violent thing that ever happens in this movie, Ron, what happens to the neighbor lady?
She gets taken into a room by the bear and dragged in and killed.
Yeah, you see her get mauled a little bit, like not mauled, but you see her get slammed to the ground. You see a bite her and throw her in the room, and then all of a sudden a bunch of blood comes under the
door. Was it the teddy bear at this point, or did he form into like an actual like bear-looking thing?
Yeah, he formed into a terrifying-looking bear. Thing, which it wasn't terrifying, but for you maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so Jessica and Taylor get separated, and Taylor thinks that she's following her sister, and it's not. It's this make-believe version of her sister, looks like a zombie. Yeah. And then Chauncey, the terrifying bear, comes after her, but she gets saved in the nick of time by Jessica. And then they find Alice, but Alice is in a room where she's happy because she has a ton of presents and she has a puppy.
Yay!
Oh, I hate this little kid.
And her mom is there too.
Yep. Oh, I hate this little kid.
And basically, her mom, which is not her real mom, it is Chauncey, the form of her mom, spoiler alert, is trying to convince her to stay while Jessica is trying to figure out a way because now they need a new door. So Jessica is using whatever she can in the room to create a door. And she basically is like, you know, and at first, you know, Alice is like happy with what the demon that's possessed her mom or looks like her mom is saying. But all of a sudden, she's like, come on, it's fun, Alice. So Alice starts building the door with him. And then Alice is like, yeah, I want to go home now. So the door gets activated, and the mother goes after Jessica, to which Taylor, you know, pushes her mother across the room, and then it's revealed that that's not your mom. The bear comes up, the big, scary bear. And the two girls get exited out. And staying behind is Jessica to save the day. She ends up stabbing the bear in the eye. And then she gets away and she gets out. And they have a happy get-together at the hospital where she tells her dad about it. And the girls say how happy they are that she's their stepmother. And then Swervosaurus Rex, she's still in the fucking imagination world. She remembers.
She checked for the scar on Alice. And it wasn't there. She's like,
oh, I'm still there.
You're not real. I'm still in the imaginary world.
And then they get real creepy eyes, and they tell her about how she can never leave. And if she does leave, that Chauncey said that he'll never stop going after Taylor and Alice if she leaves him. And she says, okay, I'll stay. And I thought that was a good ending. I was like, she stays.
Yeah.
But nope, out of nowhere, motherfucking Taylor comes with her field hockey stick and just smacks it upside the head and is like, not today, Satan.
It wasn't Taylor that I thought was going to show up. I thought it was going to be Mr. Tough.
Yeah, so
because there was that throwaway line in the movie. That
her husband had an imaginary friend and his name was Mr. Tough.
And he knew how to make bombs and he was a karate expert.
So we thought, I thought that Mr. Tough was going to show up. Mr. Tough. So, because basically we find out imaginary friends are real, and usually they help the child along, and then they go off into the distance. But sometimes, if they get drugged for their child too soon, they are resentful, and they become evil. So anyways, this time they do get out, they cover the door, and the end of the movie. As the fire department's coming, and, you know, nobody questions them. And then I do love the end scene.
Yeah.
So after all this, they go to the hospital, because she breaks her ankle pretty good in the imagination world. Jessica, that is, sorry. And so they go to after this whole thing is they have to go to a hotel because their house burnt down.
Yeah.
Because in the process of getting rid of the spirit, Alice lights it on fire, which is a big step for her because after being burned in the fire, she's scared of fire. But she burns Chauncey in the fire, and that burns the whole house down. And they go into a hotel, and they're getting ready to get a room because obviously they need somewhere to go. And they see, all of a sudden, they see a bear, a top of a bear's head. And they're like, oh, no. And then they come over and they're like looking, and all of a sudden the bear pops up and the mother and there's a kid, and the kid's got a bear, and it's like, oh, this is Rex Bear or something like that.
I thought it was Randy.
Is it Randy? Okay. Oh, yeah. This is Randy the bear. This is Randy the bear. And Randy's always hungry.
Yeah.
And they all look at each other. They go,
Next hotel.
Yep. And they fuck off outside. Yeah. And that's how the movie, and he's describing what the bear is telling him as they fuck off.
And I'm like, I'm good with this.
I liked the ending. I did. Like, spoiler alert for likes, the ending was hilarious. And that's the end of your movie, ladies.
Yeah,
okay. So that's kind of the run through of the movie. Yes, I skipped a bunch because it's literally a lot of what I did was I kind of highlighted the movie on the way through because in between there's a lot of like bogging down. Like she's taking video of the voice and her talking to her imaginary friend and they think it's so cute. She takes video in the room where they're having a tea party. She's stealing ideas from the bear for her book.
Yeah.
I'm being serious because she can hear these conversations and see this fucking bear.
Okay.
Jessica, that is. So there's stuff like that going on, but it's not really impressive. You know, it's backstory that you have, yeah. But whatever. So with that being said, Ron, what are some of your likes for Imaginary?
The opening up hot and how the father transformed into a half spider creature. Like you're like, oh shit. Like, okay, we're going into this movie like this. Okay, this might actually be, you know, top tier movie. Obviously it's a lot of bogged down spots, like you said. The concept of Chansey is like fine. Like I have no issues with that. Like through the whole movie there's spots where you see the actual demon figure and not just the bear figure, yeah. Or anything. Like in little corners here, there on the walls, you know. So it's like it's very well placed for most of it. The concept of, oh, he, you know, I have this scavenger hunt. You think it's a little cliche, but it works for what you need to do because it's part of a ritual that, how else are you going to get a kid to do a ritual?
Yeah.
You know, so it fits that little spot. It's, like we said earlier, it's one of those movies, like, I'm not upset that I saw it. I enjoyed it. It's easy to get somebody into horror movies that don't do horror movies. It can get you started there. I thought actually the acting was fine for what it was. I don't think it was really over the top. I don't think anybody was bad, especially with between the three girls, because yeah. That's basically all you see besides Gloria showing up and the neighbor boy, you know, showing up. It's other than that, it's just the three girls pretty much through the whole thing and a stuffed bear. So I mean, it fits. It goes on. It's not that bad of a placement.
Yeah, I agree. Some of my likes is like the story itself is good. Like the basis of the story, that was interesting and intriguing. I dug the ending. Like I said, I've already said that, so I'm just gonna reiterate that. I thought the interactions were fun. It was cute at times. Okay. I would say that. I was a fan of like when you get to see the demon and stuff in the background. I thought that they did a really good job of building suspense in the movie. There's really no payoff. Once again, it's one of those movies where there's no payoff because there's a jump scare here and there, but like there's only one violent, and I put it in quotations because you don't see it, scene in the whole film. There's only one kill in this entire movie, and that is that Gloria lady. That's it. That's the only kill in the entire movie. And you don't see it. You just see the blood coming out from under the door. So you understand what's happened. Even the fake stoner kid does not get killed.
No, which should have.
Yeah. It's to me, that's the strange part. You know, that there's only one quote unquote death in this whole movie. There's a lot more. Speaking of dislikes, flipping over, there was a lot left on the table.
Yeah.
Like this movie, and I'm not saying it had to be rated R because like we saw with Megan, you can make a PG-13 horror film that is intriguing, but they didn't put any of that intrigue in. They forgot, like, even in that movie, what they kept off screen, Megan's still killing people and chopping little boys' ears off and shit. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, it shouldn't chop, ripping them off. But you know what I mean? Like there's things that happen, and you're like, oh, shit, there is a payoff. This movie's just like a big, like, oh, build up the suspense. Something's going to happen, then nothing.
Yeah, like,
and it just keeps happening that way. The whole movie, including that nail scene. It's like, you're like, I don't want to see her put her hand through it, but fuck, at least something's going to happen. Nope, not going to happen either.
It should have transferred that nail scene into him needing, instead of it just being a little cut on her arm, should have been like the scene that I didn't really want to see, but they overplayed it, is stepping on a nail on the stairs.
Yeah.
That should, all of a sudden, a nail should have just appeared there.
Like
something to give you a little more.
Well,
the
nail turns into a daisy. You can see a daisy before you see the nail to make it easy for her, I guess. But anyways, the other part that I really got, like, it's just, this is one of those movies where you end up having things that you could have done better and you just leave it on the table. And that's, I think, what bothers me the most is that there was so much stuff, there's so much opportunity to leave things and put things in that they left off the table. And I'm not saying I need a huge body count, or, but like have something happen. Something, anything. I beg you, just give me something to clinch on to. And like, even like with dealing with her dad and all that stuff, like, if something that traumatic happens to you, I know people try to put out your system, but no. And the plot armor.
Yeah.
Like, the plot armor of this film. Like, you know, she finds a box of her stuff, and instead of going through it right then and there, like, oh, man, I don't remember my life at five. And this box says Jessica, 5 years old. Why wouldn't you just go through it? And then you would have known the answers before the psychiatrist. And then the psychiatrist just so happens to have had a patient before who had an imaginary friend and had a video, and then that kid had disappeared after the video, and he cut his finger off to appease the hurt portion. You know what I mean? Like, like they just happen to have it. And the neighbor next door just happened to watch you go in, and instead of just telling you that up front, she beats around the bush until she tells your stepdaughter this, and that's why she's written books about this imaginary world that never ever, like, that is like literally like, it's like the, like you say, like, and then of course she's there in the end, and she's the one that kind of hijacks them for a minute because she wants to ride this thing through. Like, it's one of those movies where the plot armor just like fuck, like,
there was no reason for the mother to show up.
Yeah,
there was no reason for that
neither time.
Yeah.
Did they at least explain that the mother was doing her scavenger hunt? That's why she had to hurt her daughter?
No.
They were like tied together or
something? No, it's not tied. Because the tie-in is the stepmother, not the mother. Yeah. The mother's just crazy. She's schizophrenic is what we find out.
Yeah. And like, there was no reason to have her just show up, and then just to have her show up in the
If she's going to show, the only time it was okay, I'm okay with, is the never ever. Because at least the daughter, you know, the demon is, we'll call it a demon because that's all we can do. It was showing something that the kid wanted, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll give you a pass there, but the fucking in the house when she runs out for no reason, like, you gotta stop, there's stuff in this house, you gotta stop.
They're sitting at the table, at the kids' table, having, you know, cookies and tea or whatever, and Chauncey's in the chair across, and that's what Jessica sees, is Alice, Chauncey, and then all of a sudden you just see the movement of a leg. But they messed it up because you saw it was a white leg.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a shadow move. Should have just been like a shadow move instead. So then you'd been like, oh, demon's there. But then they messed that up.
But it's the real mom that was there. It just made no sense. So there's some of that stuff.
What I'm gathering is sort of like the new Exorcist movie, where they did a great job world building, but kind of fell flat with that after the fact.
Yeah, they built a world, they built up the suspense, and then they just kind of poo-pooed it.
It's kind of,
put it this way, it's like ISS. Where they did a great job like setting up the movie and then fucking
who gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Like that's my biggest attraction for the movie. You got anything else you want to add for dislikes, Ron?
All like the neighbor boy and the drug thing, you really didn't need. It made no sense.
Like, he's got Allegra.
Like, yeah, like I mean, you could have easily had him over without doing the drug thing. I gotta go take a piss. Or instead it was, oh, go get a towel in the bathroom, and he's walking around upstairs, and he's looking in every room as he's walking upstairs, and then he comes out, he goes to the bathroom, takes a piss, and then he sees the bear with a bag over, or a blanket over his head, and then, and then it's like he leaves the towel upstairs.
Yeah.
The whole point was to go upstairs and get towels.
My favorite part is he thinks he's tripping, but he's, and then we find out he's taking allergy meds, so he ain't tripping.
Fucking, you do a line of Claritin, man.
So
it's like, change your fucking life, man.
Like, I don't have an issue having the character there for the teenage daughter to have something, something to look forward to. I get it, but it's like that whole, like, it would have been just easier to be like, oh, since your stepmom's not here, let me come over. Oh, let me go use the bathroom real quick, and then go, and then just like you cut out 5 minutes without him sitting there. Oh, I'm just sitting here watching the movie and him walking around like.
Yeah, it's a little, there's things that definitely.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't mind it, but there's things that I definitely didn't like. So with that, it is now time. By the way, it kind of got a little recency because it wasn't the worst movie I saw this week. Because I had to watch a movie for a spot I'm doing on the Pint Pop Culture Podcast Patreon. So if you're on a Patreon, I know our good friend Charles joined from our. So if you're on there, you're going to hear me talk about Ghost Rider.
Spirit of Vengeance.
Not even the first one, the second one.
And what'd you think?
I can't. I'll share it on that show. How about that? And if you do want to tune into the free version of the show, this upcoming Friday on The Pint, a pop culture podcast, if you're on their Patreon, you already have it. I joined the group to do our favorite movies of the year 1994. So they got some shout outs from our good friend John, who just messaged me. So kind of reminded me, hey, I need to do some shout outs. So with that being said, let's now turn our attentions on what the rest of the internet thought about Imaginary, because it is officially
time to play the game. Time to play the game.
That's right, it's time to play the game, and Diesel has the lead on the year and also won last week. But the game is simple. These two gentlemen are going to catch the scores closest to the number. Not without going on. No more Price is Right rules. Just closest to the number gets the point. First of 3 points wins. And, of course, if there is a tie goes to the reigning defender. So that means they actually win the week. So you don't want a tie because it gives it up to your opponent. You know, that's because of the championship advantage. So with that being said, Ron, you are the challenger. So you get to go first. IMDb out of 10 using points. What did they give Imaginary?
It's not going to be high. 4.1.
Diesel.
No, 5.
Diesel's going with 5. Ron went with 4.1. And Diesel gets the point. 4.9 out of 10. So you were very close. So Diesel, 1 point to none. And you get to go first here. Metacritic. Remember, this is just critics from around the internet. What out of 100%, what did they give Imaginary?
All right, Metacritic's not going to like this movie, but it does do a lot with repression and stuff like that. It could have a deeper meaning. I'm going to go 44.
44. Ron.
13.
Ron goes 13. Diesel goes 44. And Diesel gets the point, 34%.
Damn it.
It was lower.
It was low. I just didn't know. I didn't know how where to
it
go.
It went too low. So Diesel's up 2-0 and could possibly win on this next one. But Ron, you get to go first. Rotten Tomatoes critic score. Out of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, what did they give Imaginary? Remember, it's the critic score.
28.
Diesel.
25.
And Ron gets the block, 32%.
Nice.
So he's super close. Now, here's a fun fact. There is no fan score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
It was one of the movies that said, not available. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I'm just throwing it out there. So here's how this is going to work. We're going to have some fun. Worth 2 points. So Ron, you can win, is the final question, which is letterboxed. But Diesel, you get to go first because technically you would have gone first. So letterbox out of 5. Remember 5. Using points. What did they give Imaginary?
Points? We don't need no stinking points. 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5. Ron.
2.1.
Ron goes with 2.1. And of course, we do have a winner.
I have to go with the numbers.
And your winner. And new weekly champion, Ron. It was 2.2 out of 5.
Okay. Oh.
2.2 out of 5. So you did win. Ron gets the win. Ron, you know, we had to like give the abbreviation due to the fact that Rotten Tomatoes fan score does not exist for this movie. Literally, I looked it up and it said not available. I was like, oh,
that's okay. Funny.
That's never good. All right. With that being said, though, now that we've found out the scores from around the internet, it is now time to find out our scores for the movie. Finally.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
So we're going to give you our nerd score for the movie, followed by my critic score. And the nerd score is basically, it's a recommendation score. So we take our critic score and we mix it with how entertained we were. And that gives us the score, which means if a movie is critically low, but it was super entertaining, it will raise the nerd score. And vice versa, that has happened in the past as well. We're looking at you, Babylon. With that being said, though, the nerd scale has only got 5 parts and 5 parts alone. And of course, the first part is a 1. And that means no. That means it's a terrible movie that you should never watch. A 2 is you've been warned. That means it's not terrible, but it ain't good. So you've been warned not to watch it. A 3 is eh. It's good. That means it's an average film. You know, it can go towards the good end. You don't regret seeing it, but it's not like you're going to add it to your collection. You'll probably never watch it again, but at least you didn't mind seeing it the one time you saw it. A 4 is just take my money. That means if it's in the theater, you should run out and go see it. That means you might add it to your collection. You might add it to your rotation. Basically, you know, it's a very good film. You know, very good to great. But then there's the rarefied air that is the 5 spot, and that is certified nerd. That is for the legendary films. That's films like Jaws, Jurassic Park, and that kind of ilk, where basically, hey, listen, great movie. I'm going to go see it in the theater. I'm going to see it when they re-release it. I'm going to buy every new copy of it that comes out. It's going to be in my rotation. I will stop and watch this movie whenever I see it. That is what Certified Nerd is. So, gentlemen, now that we have given out what Certified, what the Nerd Scale is, it's time for the Nerd Scores. We're going to start with Ron, because he's the only one giving a score, because Diesel can't give a score. So, I mean, we can let him give a score, but he didn't see it, so it doesn't really count. So, Ron, what is your Nerd Score for Imaginary, and why?
My score for this is a 3.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. Might be a little high, because I wasn't upset that I saw it. I actually did enjoy what I saw. The concept is actually enjoyable. Like I was hoping for something a little bit more, but I understand that it's PG-13 and Blumhouse. Not saying that they fail at things like this, but it's PG-13. Like it needed to be a hard PG-13 to get it there. Like I hope there's more to this world. Like even if it's a comic book form or something, because it's intriguing to me. It's enough that, you know, you could move it on. Like you set it up, you know, you got Randy the Bear or whatever. I believe it was Randy. I can't remember.
I think Randy was the second one.
You know, so like you can just see the imaginary, you know, you can have another imaginary friend be whatever. And same thing happen. And you can get deeper down into this rabbit hole. So I really hope, you know, we can see a little bit more. I wasn't upset that I saw it. What I enjoyed what I saw. And if it comes on a streaming service, I'll probably watch it again.
So I'm just gonna dive in. I also gave it a 3.
It's good. It's good. It's
good. This is a stereotypical. This is it, when we talk about a 3, this is a 3. I didn't mind seeing it, but it wasn't great or bad. There was some really good things that's what drove it to a 3, but there was a lot of things missed, which makes it can't go higher. Will I ever watch this movie again? More than likely not. Like 95% chance I'll never see it again unless for some reason it comes on and I just happen to not change the channel. But that's the only reason to ever watch this again. With that being said, then maybe there's people who like it more than I do. That's fine. But like, also my critic score is right down the middle too. It's this movie is like a 4.5 out of 10. It's not quite right in the middle, but it is because I had to take away points for disappointment. Like I'm disappointed that there was so much more you could have done with this movie. And you still could have kept it a PG-13 while doing that. Like, that's not the issue here. I don't think the rating was the issue of this movie. You didn't have to have blood and guts. Megan didn't, although we got an X-rated version of that as well. Not rated version of that as well, after it came out on Blu-ray and collections. Yeah. However, this movie could have done what the original portion of Megan that we really enjoyed did, and just not shown it, but had it there. So the theater of the mind takes over. Like, you know what I mean? Megan, a lot of the stuff, like when she rips the boy's ear off, we see it tugging, and then we hear the off screen. And then the kid holding, and there's some blood, and he's screaming. So we know what happened. And the theater of your mind filled in the blanks. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? The same when she's walking around with a paper cutter. You know what I mean? This movie could have done that with one death in this entire film. And really never feeling like your lead characters were in jeopardy. Never felt like any of the lead three. The three girls are who you follow the most in this movie. As Ron pointed out during the review, I never felt a single one of them was going to be dead or come close to it.
Yeah.
Come on, give me some peril. There was no peril. That's why it's a 4.5 out of 10. It's a 3 because I didn't mind. It's a definition of a 3. I didn't mind seeing the movie. I told my wife in a nutshell it was cute at times, and that'll win me over because I guess as a dad, sometimes cute wins me over to not give it a shit grade. But I don't think it was bad enough to give a 2. I think that it wasn't, but it was definitely not good enough to give a 4.
Yeah.
So it's like a solid, as Diesel would say, a solid 3. This is right here is the quintessential 3. Like, okay, I didn't mind seeing it, but did nothing.
Yeah. Just wait till Chauncey gets his job at the becoming a hormone monster.
Well, Chauncey versus Ted.
Yeah, they try to play it off that she used to call it, Jessica used to call him CB.
And she used to spell it out S-E-E-B because she didn't know. Yeah. So because how she spelled it instead of just the letter C-E-B.
And she turned out to be an author? Yeah. Fuck that bitch.
but for kids' books.
For kids' books. So it works. Yeah. That was the whole thing. She's like, oh, I thought when his dad used to say it, she was like, oh, I thought it was because I had some kind of CB radio I used to talk on.
Yeah, that was her excuse. But with that being said, that's our review and our scores for Blumhouse's Imaginary. Of course, we already mentioned next week we'll be getting the Wayback Machine to talk about Captain America : Winter Soldier for next week's 3FN Movie Club review. If you would like to give us your thoughts on Imaginary or anything else, or say hi or follow us on social medias, make sure you go to 3FNpodcast.com. It's got all your information and hookups for all that. And Ron, before we go, I believe you have some business to attend to.
3 out of 10 stars. Childhood dream. Back in the day, behind the Iron Curtain, where VHS players were 1 in 100,000. That was an ultimate dream of every child. Combined with the unique and colorful 80s era, the movie quickly became legendary. I watched it again in 2022, and it brought a pitiful smile on my face. I won't judge it too harshly, but it is a bad movie. 3 out of 10 stars. The Terminator just sucks people.
Diesel.
Okay, well, I actually don't hate this review. It's a bad movie, but they're like, I still get a little bit of a smile. 3 out of 10. It's not like the fucking I had a bad time at Universal. Had nothing to do with watching the movie. Fucking 1 out of 10. All right. Not a lot of substance to that review, but it was like, it's a 3.
It's like Diesel's sex life. It was in and it was out. With that being said, though, thank you guys for tuning in to the 3FN podcast this week. We'll be back next week to crack some inappropriate jokes while reviewing Captain America Winter Soldier. Until then, for myself, for the guys, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most importantly, later, nerds!
Later.
My imaginary friend became your girlfriend that lived in Canada.
The Terminator just sucks.